Yana Lambrinidou was in Milwaukee recently to speak with people concerned about the water situation here. She also sat down with Susan Bentz and said the city actually has a chance to be seen as a leader in its response.
Well, that is because in Milwaukee, the community residents are actually taking charge in investigating the severity and extent of the problem, in investigating local ordinances, investigating when lead laterals were installed, figuring out what the holes are in the city's knowledge about when lead laterals were banned. Residents here in Milwaukee are taking charge by not only educating themselves, but educating the leadership about local laws and the science of lead in water. And when this happens, we have seen before, that's the most promising time for change because it puts communities on an equal footing with their leaders, and it allows communities to demand change.
How long should we expect or allow this process to take of replacement?
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult question for me because I do think that I imagine that the pace of replacement might depend on specific decisions that are locally based. At the very, very least, I would say that water utilities can commit to replacing lead laterals fully when they do pre-planned water main work or other street projects, and they encounter lead laterals as they're digging up the streets. When that happens, it is absolutely the right time to be removing those pipes.
You said that the laterals themselves are just part of the issue.
Right. Lead laterals are made of 100% pure lead. They literally work like lead straws that we use to drink from and draw water to cook with. They are extremely dangerous. At the same time, there is lead-bearing plumbing in our homes. There is lead solder that was used to connect pipes together. There is lead-bearing brass that contains lead even when it's brand new. And sometimes there's galvanized iron piping that, even though it starts off having no lead in it, can actually absorb or attract lead from other plumbing and then begin to release it at a later time. So even though it makes sense to place priority in the replacement of lead laterals, when lead laterals are replaced, or in homes where lead laterals do not exist, there can be, and in all likelihood is, lead-bearing plumbing that must be addressed. And this, of course, is the case with not only homes, but also schools and workplaces.
Everyone's at risk at some level, right? But those most at risk would be...
The populations most at risk from lead in drinking water are fetuses and infants dependent on reconstituted formula. These are two populations that we never screen for lead in blood. Pregnant women are not required to be screened, and infants between 0 and 3 months are almost never screened for lead in blood. So these populations may very well be getting exposed to very serious levels of lead, getting harm for life. Lead can also cause fetal death and miscarriage, and yet this is an area that we just do not look at and know nothing about.
You said when a child is tested. I mean, let's assume he or she is, but then actually when that testing occurs is a critical element.
Right? There's enormous complexity in our surveillance system, both in terms of catching lead in drinking water and also in catching lead in blood. So our surveillance system is actually designed to miss a connection between lead in water and lead in blood. And why is that? The trick, the challenge of lead in drinking water is that it tends to release sporadically and erratically. And so what this means is that you can turn on a tap and fill up a glass 10 different times, and your water could be lead free. And then the 11th time you turn on your tap and you fill up your glass and you have a lead particle, an actual piece of, it could be 100% lead from your lead lateral, or it could be a lead solder or lead from leaded brass. And that piece could contain astronomical levels of lead that can even exceed lead concentrations in the abortion pills used in the 19th 1900s, if you don't sample water at the right time, you can miss these high levels and be falsely assured that your water is safe, when in fact it exposes you or your children to very high levels at different times. Very similar situation with lead levels in blood. When a child is exposed to lead in drinking water, especially when this exposure occurs from lead particles, the child's lead in blood concentration can spike, but then it would drop quite quickly. So if you do not test that child soon after, within 2 or 3 or 4 weeks at the most of exposure, you can miss the harm and think that your child's low blood lead levels reveal protection from lead in drinking water, when in fact it could be that your child's blood lead has spiked numerous times in their past and you had no idea. It is very complicated, which is why we need to shift our paradigm and our thinking from one of testing to one of precautionary measures at all times. Filtering seems to be a very good first level of defense. Mm-hmm. And then replacement of all lead-bearing plumbing is really necessary for the long term.
Yana Lambrinidou is an affiliate faculty member in Science and Technology and Society at Virginia Tech and founder of the organization Parents for Non-Toxic Alternatives. She spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz.